Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to start this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1 says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. As it says in the Authorized Bible, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And this morning I want to bring to a conclusion the study that we've been looking at over the last few weeks concerning we faint not. We don't give up. Amen. We don't give up in our prayer life. We don't give up in our service for the Lord. We don't give up in times of trial and tribulation. We don't give up in our Father's discipline. But finally, this morning, I want to look at the fact that our confidence is in God. Amen. Our confidence is in God. Since through God's mercy, we do not lose heart. If our confidence this morning was in each other, we would have reason to be afraid. If our confidence was even in our closest family and friends, there would be times when we would doubt. But it isn't this morning. Our confidence is in the Lord, God, King of kings and Lord of lords. The Bible says that in him there is no shadow of turning. What he said yesterday, he means today and will mean forever. Nothing changes in the character of God. What he was before eternity began, he will be in eternity as we see it, future. We can trust him. We can rely on him. And we can rely on his mercy. Hallelujah. He says, I will have mercy. And we have received that mercy. We didn't deserve it. We don't earn it. We cannot work for it. We just accept it. This morning as a gift from God, his grace, his mercy, his love in our lives. And because we are trusting him and because we know that he is unchanging and timeless, that his mercy endures forever, and his grace is from everlasting to everlasting, we have reason this morning to trust him and to not lose heart. Hallelujah. To not faint. We have become the recipients this morning of the mercy and the grace of God. Our confidence is in him. People's confidence has been shaken in this nation of ours over these past months. It's been shaken in our government. And only, I think, tonight, when the election results come out for the European elections, will we see the extent that the confidence of this country has been battered. Because men are fallible. Men are changing. Men say one thing one week and another the week after. But God doesn't. And Jesus said, not one word of my words will be changed. Not one I will be undotted. Not one T will be uncrossed until the day when we stand with him in glory. We do not faint. We do not lose heart because our confidence this morning is in him. Turn over the page into Hebrews. In chapter 10. Hebrews 10, and we'll read from verse 35. Except, I think, to put it into context, we'd perhaps better back up to verse 32. So, Hebrews 10 and verse 32, the Apostle Paul teaching the church here, remember those earlier days after you had received the light. When you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insults and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison. You joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. Praise the Lord. So, in verse 35, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Our confidence. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Turn just back a few verses. To verse 19. It's headed up in the New International here, a call to persevere. And it says there in verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, etc. Where is our confidence this morning? It's in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made peace for you and I with God by the blood of his cross. The cross was not an accident. The cross was not a failure. The cross was in the mind of God, the Bible says, before the world began. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. That's Jesus. And all those sacrifices and all the blood that flowed from the animals in the time of the Old Testament was just pointing the way for the day when Jesus would come, the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, and offer himself on the cross. Shed his blood for you and I, so that it's not by our works, it's not by being religious, it's not by trying to be a good person, it's not by keeping a set of rules, it's not even by coming to church, taking communion, it's not by those things this morning that we have confidence in God. Those things are all good. We need to live a disciplined life. We need to come to church. We need to break bread together. We need to give. We need to do and be all we can be. But it's not by those things that we have confidence. If our confidence was in our own abilities this morning, we would be so sadly lacking, wouldn't we? Each of us would be just squirming before the Lord. Because there is no way in heaven or earth that we measure up to the holiness of God. Even the very best of us, even the Mother Teresas of this world, do not hold close enough to the mark of the holiness of God. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. And so we cannot this morning afford to have confidence in our own abilities, our own righteousness, our own good works, our own intentions. Yes, most of the time our intentions are good and honorable, but not always. Sometimes we get jealous. Sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes we're selfish. And all those things are dishonoring to a God who is absolutely perfect in every way. And so if we tried to have confidence in ourselves this morning, we would come up far short of God's mark, his standard. And so Jesus came at the right time, the Bible says. In the middle of history, Jesus came, the Son of God, to be the sacrifice for our sin, for all the guilt that is in the human heart this morning. Jesus came, died on the cross, shed his blood, so that we could be forgiven and that we could receive the mercy and the grace of God. This is the message that the church calls the gospel, the good news. The good news is this morning that we don't have to have confidence in our own abilities or our own lack of abilities. We only have confidence in God through the blood of Jesus. That's what it says here. Therefore, brothers. Now, he's talking to the Christians because he calls them brothers. Okay? He's talking to the church. Since we have confidence. Now, when you're confident of something, it means that you know that you can do that thing. That there is nothing to stop you achieving what you have set out to do if you're confident. People today talk about self-confidence, and of course we do need some self-confidence, otherwise we become shrinking violets who will sit in the corner and not do anything. We do need some self-confidence in our lives, but at the end of the day, our confidence is not in ourselves. It's in God. It's in Jesus. And so he says, we have confidence to enter the most holy place. Now, what is this most holy place? Well, in the religion of the Jews, the religion of Jesus' day, in the temple, and it went back as far as the tabernacle in the wilderness in the time of Moses when God gave them the pattern, and he said, this is how you're going to construct my house. Although they knew that God doesn't live in buildings made of bricks and mortar, or as it was then, in buildings made of animal skins and clothes, and they knew that. But God said, "I want a place where I can meet with my people." And so he gave Moses the pattern for the tabernacle in the wilderness, the tent of meeting. And in part of that tent was an area that was cordoned off from the rest, and that place was called the Holy of Holies. And inside the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant, which was a golden chest with a statue of an angel at either end whose wings overlapped the chest and whose wings touched. And there was golden poles that were slipped through rings on the corners of the Ark so the priests could carry it when the nation moved through the desert. And that Ark was kept behind the Holy of Holies. And in later years, there was some of the showbread was kept inside the ark, some of the manna that had been collected in the wilderness, the tablets of stone that Moses had come down from the mountainside with were put inside the ark. And that thing became the symbol of the presence of God with his people. Wherever the ark went, God went. Wherever the ark was, the blessing of God was there, the presence of God. And they talked about a glorious light that used to flicker behind the curtain in the Holy of Holies, which showed them that the presence of God was there, a supernatural light. The Shekinah glory, it's called. And so there was this place, this Holy of Holies, where God dwelt. Not that it could contain God, we know that. But there was something special there. God said, this is my mercy seat. That Ark of the Covenant was the place where he had mercy on his people, because once a year, and only once a year, the high priest came bearing the blood of the sacrifice and he sprinkled it onto the ark, onto the mercy seat, and that covered over the sins of the people for another year. But only he, and only after he'd been through some long rituals of ceremonial cleansing and anointings and all kinds of things went on to make that priest fit and acceptable to go into the holy place. And tradition, not scripture, but tradition has it that they used to tie a rope around the ankle of the high priest before he went in, and on the skirts of his robes were bells. And the people would listen for the sound of the bells, and as long as they heard the sound of the bells, they knew the priest was still alive in the presence of God and that God had accepted the sacrifice that the priest had taken in. But if they heard the bells stop, then something was unacceptable. And they would pull on the rope and pull his body out of the presence of God. Now that's a frightening thought. How do we possibly meet this holy God who, even in the New Testament, struck down Ananias and Sapphira because they lied to him? How do we meet such a God? How do we possibly come into this holy place? Now we know that the holy place, as it was in the tabernacle and later into the temples that were built in Jerusalem, that holy place was destroyed in AD 70 when the Roman army marched into Jerusalem and ransacked the place, just as Jesus said it would happen. He said, Jesus warned the people, he said, not one stone will be left upon another. And it happened literally as Jesus said it would in AD 70, and the temple was destroyed, and the Jews have not had a holy place since then. And the reason for that is what we read here. Therefore, brothers, we have confidence to enter the most holy place. Ooh. Now, he's talking to the Hebrews here. He's talking to the people of Jewish background, the believers of Jewish background, and they knew immediately what he was talking about, the presence of God. The presence of this most holy, awesome, wonderful, incredible, supernatural God. They knew immediately. And Paul's telling them that we have confidence to go before him. The same God that would strike down the priest if something wasn't done absolutely correctly. We have confidence to go to him. Paul, how can I have confidence? I am a human being. I am fallible. I get things wrong. I occasionally bend the truth. Occasionally I allow thoughts into my mind and images into my mind that I shouldn't allow. Lord, I am not holy. How can I come before you, this most holy God? How can this be? And Paul answers that question and gives us a reason for confidence this morning. He says that we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. We're not carrying anymore the sacrifice of the blood of a lamb or of a goat. We come this morning because 2,000 years ago, Jesus shed his blood on the cross. And the Bible says of Jesus' blood that it speaks better things. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses you from all sin. That's what the Bible says. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses you from all sin. And so when we come to God, we don't come before God and kneel and say, "Oh God, I'm so sorry, I'm so awful, I'm so terrible, Lord, you cannot possibly love me, you cannot possibly accept me, but Lord, if you could just give me a little crumb of your mercy somewhere, oh God, I don't deserve this, but Lord, oh help." You see, we don't have to come that way anymore. We have confidence, hallelujah. The Bible says we can come to the throne of grace to receive help in time of need. And we come and we just say, "Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus. Because of his blood, I come to you, holy God. Because he died for me. Because he died in my place. Because he took the punishment that I deserve. I come by the blood of Jesus." And Paul goes on there in verse 20. He says, "By a new and living way opened for us through the curtain." You see, we're not dealing with a God anymore that hides behind a curtain. He did for thousands of years. He hid behind the curtain of the temple. But on the day that Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says, as he cried out, "It is finished," the curtain in the temple there in Jerusalem was torn in two from top to bottom. Hallelujah. And that signifies two things. One, that man can come to God. And secondly, that God is coming out to man. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says that if we will draw near to him, he will draw near to us. That's the God that we serve and we love this morning. On that day when Jesus died, the temple curtain was destroyed. Now, I have no doubt that the Jews stitched it up again. And that's why in AD 70, God said, "We don't need this anymore." And it was destroyed completely and forever. It's gone. It's part of history now. The Ark of the Covenant is gone. All those commands and all the traditions and the rituals are gone forever. What we have now, the Apostle Paul says, is a new and living way to come into the presence of God. Through the curtain, a new curtain. You see, the curtain has been replaced by the body of Christ. Jesus himself. He is the way to God. I prayed it earlier in the service today. Jesus said, "I am the door for the sheep." He is the door. He makes a way. We can come through him into the presence of God. "I am the door of the sheep," he said. "I am the good shepherd. I am the door of the sheep." And when we come through him, we have confidence, not in our ability, not in our holiness, but in his holiness, in his blood, in his mercy, in his grace. The Bible says that my righteousness is like filthy rags in the sight of God. But I don't come with my righteousness, because the Bible says the moment that we love Jesus, accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are clothed with a garment of righteousness. And God doesn't see us anymore in our old filthy self. He sees us clean and white. "Come, let us reason together," says the Lord. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Our confidence this morning is not in ourselves. It's not in the church. It's not in the rituals. It's not in the songs. It's not in the sermons. It's not in the music. Our confidence this morning is in the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. And that's why we can come. And then he goes on in verse 23 and he says, and we have a great high priest over the house of God. You see, the Bible says of the Lord Jesus that he's not just our Savior, but he is our high priest, and that he stands before God this morning interceding, that means praying, talking to God on our behalf. You see, some people have the mistaken idea that you have to have a human advocate with God, a priest. But we don't. Our priest is the Lord Jesus himself. You see, the earthly priesthood in that sense died when the temple was destroyed. Now the Bible says that all those who believe in Jesus are a nation of priests. We're all priests unto God. We're all serving him. And so we don't have to come to one man and ask a certain man to pray and seek God for us. We can seek him for ourselves, hallelujah, because of the hole that was made in the curtain. We can come into the presence of God. We have a high priest, a great high priest, over the house of God. And he says there, let us draw near to God. You see, the invitation is there for each one of us this morning. Draw near to me. Come to me. We said last week that God loves to call people. He's called people ever since Adam failed in the garden. And God came down and he said, Adam, where are you? And from that day to this day until the days of eternity when the world is finally wrapped up, he's calling to men and women and boys and girls and saying, where are you? Come to me. Come unto me, he said, and I will give you. Come unto me. And so he calls you this morning to come to him with a sincere heart. Oh, he doesn't want us to come half-heartedly. He said, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. Hallelujah. You see, he doesn't want part of us. He doesn't want a little box in our life that's our religious bit. Amen. He wants our whole heart. Jesus says, I gave everything I had for you when I died on the cross, and I want everything you have in return. Hallelujah. But for me, it's a good deal. Amen. It's a good deal to know that I have peace with God through the blood of his cross. That's a good deal this morning. And so he says, come to me with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Hallelujah. Our faith is not in ourselves. Our faith is not in the church. Our faith is not in religion. Our faith is in Christ this morning. The Bible says there is a man in heaven who speaks on our behalf, and his name is Jesus, the Son of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Faint not, church. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't throw away your confidence. You see, that's where we started this morning there in verse 35. Do not throw away your confidence. Our confidence is in Christ. And so when we get it wrong and when we blow it and we know that we've let God down in some way, we don't have to go and hide somewhere in the desert and hope that God doesn't find us. We just have to say sorry. Sorry, Lord. Sorry. And God is faithful and just, the Bible says, to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all our iniquity. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere, it says, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. You know, we're either going to meet him in the air or we're going to meet him in heaven, but one day we're going to meet him. Glory to God. Temmie was not expecting to meet the Lord this week, but he was ready and he's met him. Amen. And we must dwell on that. We weren't ready to let Temmie go to be with the Lord this week, but God was. He was ready for him. Jesus said, "In my house are many rooms." Praise the Lord. Many rooms. And heaven was ready, even though we weren't. Glory to God. And think about that this morning. He has received what was promised. We're still waiting for that this morning. Some of us have longer to wait than others. As King David said, the child cannot come back to me, but I will go to the child. Amen. And that's the way it is for all of us this morning. And it's through our confidence in Christ, in his blood. Do not throw away your confidence. For after you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. And then in verse 39, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. And then, of course, follows the great chapter in Hebrews 11. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And these things that are in our heart this morning, things of glory that we can only imagine and glimpse somehow with the eyes of our spirit, are more of a reality than the world that we live in today. And one day we shall see him if we don't shrink back. See, that's why we've got to keep our confidence this morning. Keep our confidence. You know, I'm going to wind this up in just a minute. I'm trying to preserve some voice for this week, hallelujah. So, in the days of Joshua, there were spies sent into the land. 12 spies, you remember? And the land was waiting for them. It was an incredible place, a place that the report came back, yeah, it's a wonderful land. It flows with milk and honey. The grapes, the bundles of grapes are huge. Takes two people to carry them. They're so big. It's a land of plenty. It's a fantastic place. It will support us all. It's a place to live. The place of God's blessing. But there are giants in the land. And we are like grasshoppers in their sight. And 10 spies who'd seen this provision that had been made for them said, "We can't do it. We can't take this land. It's a fantastic place, but we can't do it. We're not able to do it." Two of the spies stood up. Their names were Joshua and Caleb. And they said, "Rubbish. We can do this. Not because of our might or our power or our abilities. We can do this because this is the will of God for us. This is what God has ordained for us. We can do it." But the children of Israel cast away their confidence and they listened to the 10 instead of the 2, and the voice of the majority carried. And a nation died in the wilderness, never having tasted of the milk and honey. until the day Joshua and Caleb marched into the land. And by this time, they're both getting on in years. And you want to read, I'm not going to read it this morning, but you can find this in Joshua chapter 14. Where, having been promised his inheritance all those years before by Moses, Caleb stands in front of Joshua and he says, "Now give me this mountain." He's over 80 years of age by this time. He's suffered 40 years with an unbelieving people in the backside of the desert. But in all that time, he's never lost his faith in God. He's not thrown away his confidence. Even though he's been to hell and back with the children of Israel in the desert. He's seen their bodies strewn, their route through the wilderness marked by the graves of the people. And he stands there before Joshua and he says, "Now give me this mountain, this inheritance of mine. Even though I'm an old man, I am well able to take it." And take it he did. Hallelujah. Because he did not throw away his confidence. And then we're going to finish this morning in Psalm 27, one of my very favorite verses in the Psalms. There's a story of how it became one of my favorite verses. I was in a little village in the Philippine Islands, right up in the mountains, past Baguio. Any of you who are familiar with the Philippines, in a very primitive area where a young man called Marnie, who had left Bible school, had gone to set up a church in a shack, in a tin shack, in this village. And Marnie, he was probably only in his early 20s, 21, 22, had spent 3 years in Bible college and then gone to this village where nobody knew him. And the place was so hard, primitive place to live, no running water, no sanitation of any kind, electricity that came and went, and he just had this one room in this little tin shack that was his. But one thing Marnie had was an old guitar that somebody had given him. And I remember Steve Foster and myself sitting in Marnie's bedroom where, when he gave us this little, all he had was like a chest of drawers by his bed, and he had a kettle on it, and he made us tea in this little shack in the middle of nowhere, and he picked up his guitar. And he began to sing this from Psalm 27. Verse 13. Sorry. And ever since that day, this has been one of my very favorite verses. "I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Hallelujah. I am confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not because of anything that I can do or anything I cannot do, but because God is my Savior and His blood avails for me this morning. Praise the Lord. I shall see the confidence. Now this is King David speaking here. The man who had been hunted from pillar to post, had nearly lost his life on several occasions. Everybody was against him. The nation hated him, but he had the promise of God in his heart that one day you will be king. And he was able to pen that verse. I am confident of this. Still confident. Even after everything that's happened to me, he says, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. The promises of God this morning to us are yes. Yes and yes again. Because of Christ Jesus. Do not throw away your confidence. You see, in the Authorized Bible, it says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You see, believe this morning. Believe God and don't faint. When the pressure is on, believe God. Do not throw away your confidence, because that confidence will be rewarded. I'm not promising you an easy life in this world. This week has been a very, very difficult week for all of us who have been involved in the situation with Tammy. It's been a tough week. But God has been with us, hallelujah. And he is and he will sustain us, and he will see us through Friday, and he will see the family through into the future, and he will be there. Because he is God and he is faithful, and it is impossible for him to fail or to lie. And we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so will Christian and Abby and the Tolu and Tammy. They will see the goodness of the Lord in this. Because God is a good God. We live in a flawed world where things happen that we don't like. But even when things happen that we don't like, God is still on the throne, and his goodness endures forever. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, that your words are true. And Lord, we will see your goodness, Lord, if we faint not. And so bless us and strengthen us today. Once more, Lord, we want to pray for Abby and for Christian this morning, for Tolu and for Tammy. Lord, that you will just be pouring grace upon grace into their lives at this time. Lord, that they will feel your everlasting arms supporting them and lifting them up. That, Lord, they will, Lord, even give them visions, Father, of Tammy just before your throne, Lord, worshipping with the angels. Lord, I pray that they'll just see him high and lifted up with you, like Jesus is. So is he this morning. And, Lord, we bless you for that. That, Lord, when everything else fails us, Lord, you never fail. Your promises do not fail. And so we bless you this morning. Lord, ask that you will continue with us this day and throughout this week. Lord, that much grace and mercy will be our portion. That you'll bless us on Friday. Lord, that you will just be with us. Lord, watch over us and keep us. Father, Lord, let grace and mercy, Lord, just follow us this week as we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.